the man who is the national ambassador for Guinness Open Gate Breweries, Ryan Wagner. How are you?
Doing great, Steve. How are you?
I am good. Speak up really loud because our connection ain't the best here, nor apparently is my grammar from what I just said. So here's my question for you, sir. I saw you on CBS this morning. I mean, you're doing national stuff now. I am glad you're still talking to me.
Oh, goodness. I think that's more to do with the fact that Guinness has entered the cultural conversation in just about every corner of this country, especially right now, this time of year. And I'm just the benefactor of that.
You know, you said in that segment, and I think it's true, don't be afraid of the dark color of this particular beer. I mean, to me, and I don't know what the caloric content is, you'll tell me, but to me, it is like an enjoyable milkshake in some ways.
I wouldn't even say that. I think that also makes people think that it's going to be somehow thick or rich or creamy in a way that is filling. Guinness Draft Stout is only about 11 calories per ounce, so that
what?
Puts it in a similar frame to some of those lighter American adjunct beers that we think about so often. In terms of the creaminess, I think the color, certainly seeing that dark stout, it's actually a ruby red color. It's not quite black. But seeing that color and then seeing that really thick dome of head of foam on top of the beer, people have a misconception. We hear all the time that Guinness Draft is like drinking liquid bread. Anything is further from or nothing is further from the truth. In fact, the nitrogenated character of the beer, it's 75% nitrogen as opposed to 100% CO2. Nitrogen bubbles are smaller, they're less dense, they make you feel less full. So the word that we use all the time is sessionable. You can have a few of them over the course of a drinking session, and you're not going to feel quite as full.
Interesting. Now, I do want to talk about the perfect pour. So I have a friend, and you tell me if I've got this right. Not that I have a friend. That part maybe is not true. Maybe it is true. I don't know. But I do have a friend. And he has a, in his basement, he has, what do you call it where you pour beer?
A kegerator. Yeah.
Okay. He's got one of those things and you move the handle, right? So what you do with Guinness is different than any other beer. You fill it up about three quarters or more of the way and it's kind of tilted. And you have to describe this better than me because we're on the radio. We need a description here. But it's tilted and then you wait until it all comes to the top, and then you give it another pour just over the top. Now, I'm not describing that. You need to do this better than I'm doing this.
Yeah, the two-part pour is a huge part of our culture. It's a huge part of our heritage. It actually predates the beer itself by about 150 years. There's a common misconception that Guinness Draft Stout is the one and only Guinness beer. Again, nothing could be further from the truth. We have made hundreds of different beers over the course of our 266 years in business. Guinness Draft Stout debuted in 1959, just, 60 or so years ago. When that beer debuted, it was the first time that that particular Guinness Stout was being put into a single keg. Prior to that, every bar, pub that served our beer was sent two different barrels. One was a bright, fresh, lively beer right from the brewing tanks, and the second barrel was aged. It was a bit stale. It had a bit of body and earthiness and a little bit of tartness, and it was the job of every bartender or publican to blend those two barrels together into a single glass to create the perfect pour. When Guinness Draft Stout debuts, Guinness had a question to ask itself. Do we tell all of these bartenders that have been pouring our beer for decades and decades and decades that there is a new way to pour it, or do we allow them to continue what had always made us a little bit unique and a little bit iconic? I'm so glad that they stuck with the two-part pour. You got it almost right there, Steve. You're going to grab a Guinness glass, hold it at a 45-degree angle to the tap, open the tap handle fully all the way down to 90 degrees. It operates a little bit differently than a typical beer faucet, typical beer tap handle. Once that glass is about three-quarters of the way full, we turn the handle off and let the beer surge and settle. That's the breakout of the nitrogen from the liquid, and as it moves its way down the side of the glass, pulls into the center and then rises to the top to help build that iconic collar of foam on top of the beer. We need to give the beer about 2 minutes to settle. We say it's 119 and a half seconds, but that is because we take ourselves a little too seriously. Once it's completely settled, that's when the top up happens. You're going to move the handle away from you this time. The handle works both ways. and you bring the liquid to, as you pointed out, just above the rim. We call it proud of the rim. And I'm telling you, when a bar takes it really seriously, when the bartender knows what they're doing, especially on a day like March 17th, there's nothing else quite like it in the world.
Well, I suppose the Guinness Open Gate Brewery in Chicago takes it very seriously. You mentioned other Guinness beers. I want to talk about those and much more when we come back. You can see why he's the national ambassador, right? Ryan, as the national ambassador, does that mean wherever you go, you get free parking?
I wish. We don't even have a parking space at the Open Gate Brewery Chicago.
That's not right, especially for an ambassador. We'll be right back on WGN. We are talking with the national ambassador, Ryan Wagner, of the Guinness Open Gate Breweries. There's one, now, I think you'll say if I've got this right, there's one in Baltimore, one in Dublin, and one right here in Chicago.
That's correct, and we're working on construction of a London Open Gate Brewery as we speak, as a matter of fact.
We're not going to lose you to the UK, are we?
Oh, national ambassador, not international ambassador, at least not yet.
All right, so what I learned, and I had no idea, so I'm guilty, and you mentioned this earlier, of when I think about Guinness, I think about that one beer that you and I have been talking about. But there are other Guinness beers, as you pointed out, correct?
Oh, goodness, yeah. So a couple that people would be familiar with, Harp Lager, Smithwick's Red Ale, Kilkenny, which is a nitrogenated Irish Red Ale. These are beers that I think most people would assume are separate breweries that somehow fall under the Guinness umbrella, but in fact, they're simply beers that we make. And over the course of, again, 266 years of being in operation, the Guinness Brewery is responsible for scores upon scores of beer recipes. And the Open Gate Breweries continue that legacy. And especially in Baltimore and here in Chicago, our brewers are introducing new recipes almost on a weekly basis.
Really? And you offer for sale, I know, because I've been there, some of those beers that you rattle off and many others. Some of them rotated, depending, I suspect, on the season. And right now, I am wearing, honest to goodness, you can't see it, a Guinness baseball cap, the Guinness stuff. So yesterday, I was out for a run, and in the neighborhood we live in, there are many, many, many bars. And I wasn't the only one wearing a Guinness something. It turns out that that Harp, and also, what is it, a Toucan, how did that all come about? Because I'm seeing them everywhere now around Chicago.
Yeah, we often joke that more people wear the shirt than drink the beer. We got to do some work on that. The Guinness Harp is certainly a hugely important piece, not just of Guinness history and iconography, but also Ireland itself. The harp belonged to a man named Brian Boru, who was a warrior king of Ireland centuries ago. And as legend tells it, he would often carry his harp with him into battle. You can still go see the physical harp itself. It's at Trinity College in Dublin. The harp became the trademarked label for Guinness way, way back in 1862. That's when we codified our label to include the harp, the word Guinness, and our founder Arthur Guinness's signature. What's really funny is that the Ireland harp, the harp that's used on official documents and websites and all kinds of things for the nation of Ireland, is that same harp, but it's flipped around. So the bow of the harp will be on the left. The Guinness harp has its bow on the right. The toucan that you mentioned and all of our really colorful, vibrant zoo animals that are often seen in historic Guinness advertising are all the work of a guy named John Gilroy. He was an artist, an illustrator, and worked for an advertising firm called S.H. Benson based in London. Guinness did not advertise for the first 170 years that it was in business. It wasn't until the early 1930s that they finally decided to get into the advertising game, so to speak. And it was through the work of John Gilroy, not just on his menagerie, as we refer to it, the zoo animals, but through a number of different ad campaigns, that Guinness became iconic, not just for its beer, but also for its advertising. John Gilroy is arguably as important to the Guinness story as anyone named Guinness.
Interesting stuff. All right. Some text questions here from listeners. One, you are Ryan Wagner, not an economist. I will repeat the question. Will the possible tariffs impact the price of Guinness beer in Chicago? Several people asked that question.
Oh, my goodness. I wish I had an answer for them. My job is to make sure that the beer is pouring beautifully and that the stories that they're hearing when they go to the pub are the ones that are authentic and true and shareable. I'm going to leave those questions about tariffs to the folks who are several pay grades above me.
However, we've got one of those folks coming on the show later. Terry Savage will be here. I will ask her about that, specifically about Guinness beer. All right, here is the most important question ever. How do bartenders keep up with pouring the perfect pour when it takes 2 minutes to do that and there's a line of people to get the beer?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's actually the number one objection that we get from bartenders. Part of my job with Guinness is to handle beer quality for us here in the United States. And so I've been in thousands of pubs across the country teaching the perfect pour and teaching, again, those stories and that bit of Guinness history. And we do. We hear that objection often. Hey, I don't have time to wait 2 minutes. The good news is the beer does most of the work for you. The actual pouring of the beer that the bartender handles is only about 15 seconds per pint. The other thing that I adore about Guinness Draft is that depending on your draft system, depending on a number of factors, there is a specific number that we can work with you to understand where if you start, say, six or seven of those pints, by the time you pour the seventh one, it's time to go back to pint number one and top up. So you can get ahead of the game. We see our bartenders at the brewery in Chicago do this all the time, especially yesterday. So you can get kind of out ahead of it a little bit. You don't have to wait for that first one to settle to top up. Get a line of them going, and then build yourself a little conveyor belt of perfect pints.
Another question. In general, do some pubs serve the Guinness too cold?
Yeah, it's another bit of misconception, a wives' tale, shall we say, that Guinness in Ireland is served somehow warmer, or we hear room temperature all the time. That's actually not the case. If you're serving beer from a keg on a draft system, the beer has to be between 38 and 43 degrees Fahrenheit. You can't get around it. If Guinness Draft Stout, for instance, is served at 46 or 48 degrees Fahrenheit, which is still fairly cold, the head on that beer is going to be 3 or 4 inches big. You'll notice it immediately. To build that iconic head, we look for 18 to 22 millimeters. It is a very specific specification. And in order to achieve that, the beer's got to sit at around 40 or 41 degrees Fahrenheit. That's where you'll see it at the brewery. That's what our spec is globally for Guinness Draft. So you might find a bottle of Guinness beer, maybe Extra Stout or Guinness Original, a beer that we serve in Ireland. You might find a bottle of that kept at what's called cellar temperature, which is typically around 55 degrees. But draft Guinness Stout out of a keg on tap, you got to be in that 40-degree range.
All right. Where is the Guinness Open Gate Brewery in Chicago?
We are 901 West Kinsey. We're right at the corner of Kinsey and Peoria. I mentioned earlier, parking is a little tough. We do offer valet. There's some street parking around if you find it. And, of course, we're close to the Blue Line and Green Line if you happen to be on CTA. Amazing place to come visit all year long. This time of year especially, there's just a little bit of Irish magic and Guinness magic alive in that building. But it's a great place to grab a bite to eat, check out all of the exciting beers we mentioned, Steve, that we've got a couple that are seasonal right now. Irish Breakfast Tea Amber, which is an amber ale brewed and steeped with Irish breakfast tea, Clover Honey Ale, which incorporates honey into a golden ale. Ooh. And then the one that we're really excited about this year, it's a lager brewed with barley, all of which was grown in Cork County, Ireland. And our friends over at the Plumbers Union gave us permission to name it Local 130. The Local 130 Lager is only available on tap, and we're proud sponsors of the Plumbers Union and the Dying of the River, obviously the Chicago Parade. So they've been buddies of ours for a number of years now. So it's an honor to have that beer on our tap list. It's only going to be around for a limited time, probably through the end of the month. So make sure you come down and check it out. All the information, tap list, food menus, hours, all that good stuff, GuinnessBreweryChicago.com.
You're a pro. You got it all in. Ryan Wagner, Guinness Open Gate Brewery National Ambassador. Thank you very much. It is always good to talk to you. Thanks, Ryan.
Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day. Please drink responsibly, everybody. Great to talk to you.